to be with you. This is Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. It's broadcast not only here in Perth, but on the network of stations right across Australia. Isn't it good? And we talk about health matters, and it is an important issue, which is affecting us as Aboriginal people and the community, anybody in the community as well. My guest in the studio at the moment is Rod Ogilvie. Hello, Rod. How are you?
Morning, Jeremy. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Tell us a little bit about you, Rod, and what you do.
Firstly, I identify as a Yamaji man from Nunda country. So for people that don't know where Nunda country is, it's really Kalbarri and that region of the state. So sort of like the midwest of WA. And I grew up in a place called Muckinboodin.
Yeah.
My uncle and my father were lucky and fortunate enough to have land and were farmers, wheat and sheep. And grew up with lots of cousins and lots of friends, lots of Noongar Yamaji kids growing up there. But we always visited Kalbarri, so we always knew where we come from and where we belonged. And that was partly my father's doing and my uncle's, but also my grandmother, Mary Mallard. She was very strong in making sure that we knew where we come from and where we belonged. So I've never had an issue with, you know, identity or country or anything like that.
Now, was that the Auntie Mary that was in Carnarvon?
She was in Carnarvon for a while, she had long ginger hair. That's my grandmother.
Wow. Mm. It's amazing. That is total connection to country as well.
Yeah.
And not only that, country is so important for our people too, because it also has a process of healing as well.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. Getting back to country is a priority of a lot of Yamaji people.
Yeah.
And also up north and down south as well. You know, I mean, you speak to Mr. Colbung down in Albany or Mr. Watson up in the Kimberleys, they'll both tell you the same thing, that, you know, our people and our young people particularly need to get back to country.
We as Aboriginal people are very diverse in culture and language as well. Tell us about the role that you have. You're an Aboriginal police, not an Aboriginal police liaison officer, but I was.
Yeah.
You're a liaison officer at, of course, Armidale Hospital. Tell us about your role there.
That's right. Well, Armidale's an outer suburb of the Perth metro region. I've been lucky enough to win an appointment there as the Aboriginal liaison officer. So I've been there for about 3 months. And whilst it was a little bit foreign to me at first, because I come from a fairly diverse background in community development and a tertiary background, so teaching at universities, I was fortunate enough to win that position, and I've learned a lot, actually, from just delivering the services around liaising with patients, firstly, and then the health professionals, doctors, nurses, physio, OTs, orderlies, cleaners, everyone, you know, the admin staff. It's pretty important as the Aboriginal liaison officer to get a handle on that quickly. So you can, it helps prepare you to do your job much better. And it's liaising with the patient, with the health professional, the doctors on ward or day surgery, in the mental health unit.
That's a pretty diverse area and a very diverse set of responsibilities too.
I work right across the hospital except for the maternity ward.
Yeah.
And another one of my peers there, Christine Parry, or formerly Christine Hill.
Yeah.
She runs the, she told me what to say. It was the Budjari Yoga maternity group practice. So she's won, actually won an award, that particular program that she's won. So, she's doing a very good job, and she's got grandmothers involved and midwives as well.
Yeah. How's the role with your diversities helped the community and Armidale Hospital itself?
First thing that I noticed is that I speak a bit of Noongar, so it's been a good opportunity.
Because you've got Noongar connections too.
That's right. My wife was Frieda Collard.
That's right.
Frieda Ogilvie, so
that's right.
I'm related married into that family, and they're very strong advocates of culture, country, you know, language particularly. And I was lucky to have her grandfather live with us and their grandmother, so when we were yarning, we talked and learnt language. So it was quite powerful to have that little bit of language tucked away to use you know, in emergency wards, in mental health unit, and people sit back and look, hey, he's speaking our language.
Yeah. So,
and that gives me an in to further explore different options and different scenarios around health issues.
Yeah. That's probably the first question quite a group of non-Aboriginal people will say, well, how important it is to patients.
Oh, extremely.
I mean, give us some of the examples.
Just saying hello, kaya, you know. People sit up and say, oh, okay. And then you start talking about your cart, your mart, Jenna, meow, you know, so eyes, feet, hand, nose, and pointing to different things in the context of health. And then even putting sentences together, you know, around. And so we've conversed with people, mainly elders, who have been in the care of Armidale Hospital in their language. So it's been a really good aspect of my work.
The question is, have you learned from all this?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. No, what are you learning?
I've learnt one thing that I shared with my colleagues and peers a month ago, maybe with Christine and the female Aboriginal liaison officers, Daisy Sash-Jones.
Yes. Yeah.
So I realised that the importance of having a yarn...
Yeah.
..is really powerful. You know, like, I'd go in and I'd just say, you know, introduce myself, explain what my role was in regards to that particular patient, and clarifying a few issues, and but then I'd leave. So it could be a 5-minute visit. Now I'm taking more time, so that's important. And particularly our elders like that, to sit down and have a yarn, because we connect. You know, we form relationships, and we work out, you know, how we know each other and where we've met before, and it's important. And it's I think it's really good practice. You know, it's they go away feeling that I've learned something and they've had a yarn. You know, so
And we talked about connection,
and
it is connection, because you're sort of learning a little bit about a person who's there, and sometimes people can have some fears when it comes to going into a hospital.
Well, connections and developing a relationship with, you know, some people I've met years ago and other people, and I'm catching up with lots of people as well that I used to know when I worked in Perth and other places. So that's been a good aspect of the work as well, you know. And the younger people that are coming through, I look at their, you know, their surnames, and I know that they're related to certain family groups. So
And of course you can be the teacher there for the younger people to understand who they are.
I have done that. Not that I'm an authority on Noongar kinship groups, and I'd be the last person to say that, but it's important that people know where they come from and where they belong and how they're connected to each other, you know.
Yeah. And when it comes to connection, you're dealing with patients, number one.
Yes.
And let's have a look at, say, for instance, the hospital staff. What are some of the things that you do that has been a great assistance when it comes to sort of teaching people or, again, that connection?
Well, firstly, it's getting some clarity or clarifying different medical procedures or different medical issues. So that takes time, and unfortunately sometimes doctors and other health professionals are time poor.
Yeah.
So, but I have the confidence to approach a doctor on the ward and say, look, Mrs. Picardone Smith is querying what treatment she's having, and she wants to have some dialogue with you around about, you know, how long it's going to be and what's going to happen, why is it happening, you know, if it's an operation or if it's medication or if it's even a stay in hospital, which is going to go more than one day. People get anxious about that. So I can relieve some of that anxiety, display... I'm not a doctor, but I can definitely communicate with the doctor and bring them to the family or the individual and have a meeting, you know. So that's one thing that's really happened several times at Armidale Hospital that I've been really, really proud about, you know, just getting that dialogue going and getting some clarity around health issues and how long am I staying here for and what else is going to happen to me, you know.
We as Aboriginal people...
Yes.
Always have, I suppose, this tag when it comes to sort of communicating with other people, but to share, share our culture and our knowledge. Tell us what's under that. Why is it so important to share? You mentioned doctors. Mm. You also mentioned orderlies and other staff members.
Well, the first thing is there's a lot of doctors, some trainee doctors at the moment out there. So I've developed a relationship with them as well in the canteen on the ward. So I've got a little post-it note and I put three things on it for them. I said, Uncle Rod's going to give you a tip here if you like. I said, the first thing you've got to ask is, you know, how are you going? And who's your mob and where you're from?
Wow.
So, and one of the doctors was just about blown over. He said, that's the best piece of advice I've ever had. You know, quite simple, really. But that's how we start our engagement with, you know, I've been at the airport and you'll see the lips go like that and, so,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and the
yeah.
eyes looking and yeah. next thing they come alongside and, where are you from, bro? You know, who's your mob? You know, where's your country? So, so I've passed that on to a lot of the staff,
wow.
and they've really embraced it, especially the trainees, you know, that are there. It's wonderful. And it's about developing, as we said earlier, that relationship, and that's about being honest and open with some integrity and some insight into what the history is around that particular patient in that bed or people that are coming into dialysis or whatever, you know. So it's you feel like I'm not a translator, but
I suppose a human translator on culture.
But I do that, and I'm doing it unconsciously and consciously. Say an elder will raise some issues with me because they know who I am and they respect, and there's a mutual respect there. And then they say, "Oh, can you, my boy, can you go and talk to that Nidiyang or Garia or whatever?" And say, "Look, can you find out about how long I'm going to be here, and how long do I have to have this procedure or medication?"
And of course, not only the hospital, we're talking about families too. Sort of the extended families. How do you get around that?
It's a bit tricky sometimes because, you know, if they have a loved one in ICU, there's only, you know, only one or two visitors in there.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Noongar people bring the whole family, so...
Yeah, that's right.
So you've got to... a strategy I used a few weeks ago was I asked, who's your leader? They pointed out the key person, so I dealt straight with that particular woman, you know, and saying, look, unfortunately, you know, your nan's really, really sick. There can only be two people in there, you know, because there are other critically ill people in that ward as well.
Yeah.
And... yeah, so just dealing with one individual rather than 15, it makes it a lot easier.
How important and how easy is that?
It's not...
You know, like when you're dealing with one particular person, it's sort of the flow of information, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because people want to know what's going on with their loved one, you know, and they're emotional, they're upset, they're confused, and so I deal with... one person to disseminate the rest of the information to the rest of the mob, you know. And that's inside the hospital and in the car park and then further afield out in the country, and the person coming from Sydney to visit as well or from Albany or wherever the people are coming from to visit. So that they do that job for me, you know. But it's important that they have the opportunity to speak to me or Daisy or Christine about what's going on, and we have the confidence to have that dialogue with health professionals.
Yeah. And, of course, not only visiting people in the hospital and around the grounds of the hospital, home visits, pretty important.
Yeah, we leave that to other health services. Most of our work is done within the confines of the hospital campus, if you like. But we do, you're right, liaise with Derrible and RJ Health and Murich Jenner and other organisations which provide services, you know, hack programs and that, back in the community. So it's important that we have a really good relationship and dialogue with them as well, because they follow up on the work that we've started in the hospital, out in the home, or in the community.
Mm. Yeah. Rod, it's lovely talking to you. We'll be still talking here, right here on Health Matters, and we'll just go to a music track, and we'll touch on some other sort of topics right here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM, broadcasting around Australia. It's a very hello to you. If you're listening to Noongar Radio, this is Health Matters, and health does matter. And having people coming in to talk about health issues, and people from the community, you know, an Aboriginal liaison officer who's here to talk about health matters, and Rod Ogilvie, thanks very much for coming into the studio. It's really nice talking to you because you're enlightening. Not only me, but a lot of our listeners, too, are listening to Noongar Radio. Mm-hmm. Regarding your role and the position that you play within the Armidale Hospital.
Yeah. Well, just to add a bit more to that, I think it's important that the role is supported. And the roles are in most, metro and some regional hospitals as well. There's male and female Aboriginal liaison officers.
Yeah.
And we... And that's for the cultural specificness of it's not appropriate for me to be wandering around the maternity ward asking Noongar women questions, and also in mental health situation, we have Indigenous female Aboriginal liaison officers, and they do that well, much better than I would that role, I guess also there's... The role is important for a couple of other reasons. Is that we're a link from community to patient, hospital from the hospital back to the patient, and also people, know, and we advertise the fact through our TV screens and through local media. We have posters being developed and brochures being developed right now through the Eastern Metropolitan Health Services to make sure that people know how to contact us, you know. So people can ask and people see us around, and we're also vigilant as well, because sometimes there are people that slip through the cracks and you think, oh, hang on, there's a Noongar person there, but they never maybe tick the box or whatever. So you discreetly ask, you know, are you identifying as an Indigenous person? Oh, yeah. So, you know, there's all sorts of things that happen, and I guess for us it's just making sure that we give people that opportunity to have a voice and a connection, as you said earlier, with the hospital, you know, the hospital staff.
A lot of people do ask the question as why do we have to have an Aboriginal liaison officer that's working within the hospital?
Well,
and you're answering these questions all the way through.
I guess this is my personal viewpoint. I don't think there's enough. You know, really. I think there needs to be a lot more Indigenous and Aboriginal people working in health. And I think, you know, both myself and the one in Daisy are part-time. So, and of course that's statistics-based and funding-based and a whole lot of other reasons which that's happened. But I think, and also there's an opportunity there for the health department to develop a lot of Aboriginal positions and right across the board, you know, so just in... And it sounds to me as if we're you know, I mean, I've been around since the early 70s.
Yeah.
And this is an argument we had then. We had it in the 80s and 90s, and we're having it still today, you know. So it's about getting people on the ground. And, you know, traineeships are good, and other organisations develop, you know, kids through the latter years of high school. And I think we need to really focus on that a bit more and get people up and running in more professional-type roles within, you know, within the hospital system. Yeah.
I mean, if I had to look at some of your responsibilities, I'd be working out, you know, the amazing time that you put into it, as well as you know, the responsibilities and that you do, which is exceptional.
Yeah, most of us take our job pretty seriously, you know. And as I said to you just a while ago off here, that I enjoy it. You know, I mean, I print out a list every morning, and that can be from 10 to 15 to 29 to 30 different people in different, you know, wards and parts of the hospital. And some of them I know and some of them I don't. So I look forward to meeting new people and then having a yarn, you know, establishing a relationship and building on that. And most people are accommodating. So, you know, a couple have said, no, I don't want to see an Aboriginal liaison officer, so that's their choice as well.
Yeah.
But the majority, you know, 99% of them say, yeah, you know, and what services do you offer and how can you assist me? And so I just go through my role and let them know that I'm an advocate. I can get clarification around their treatment, their medications. I can help assist them back at home through further follow-up, through different programs, so that's what we work on.
Yeah. And I was also thinking about not only you're working with individual doctors and other staff members, nursing staff is pretty important, and also cleaning staff and people that are working around the hospital, and education too as well. It's pretty important.
They're a wealth of information. You know?
Yeah.
If I want to know something, I ask an orderly. You
know? Wow.
So they've been very helpful to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes we've had deaths in the hospital and other things like that, where we've had to accommodate family to get to that deceased and loved one, and they've been very helpful and very sensitive around the whole issue as well, you know. So I think there is a change in the thinking of how we engage with our Indigenous people, and I've noticed it, you know. It's in the 70s and 80s it was a bit more hostile, but now it's a bit more friendly, I think. Yeah.
So you've seen the change?
I believe so, yeah. I mean, it's not perfect, you know, far from it. I think we'd be kidding ourselves if we thought it was all roses out there, because, you know, we're confronted with the other issues in the community which present a whole host of other problems, you know. So there's still work to be done. But unfortunately, things like ICE and domestic violence and, you know, other substance abuse and they're still pretty high on the priority, and sometimes we see the results. Well, not the results, it's not the right word, but we see the actions of what it's led to in the community in our hospitals. You know,
And of course, that's a diverse subject itself as well. I mean, there's so much things within the community, but it is also showing that there is a cultural process that we're dealing with here, and how we can, attract people to cultural solutions to a problem.
Well, give people the time, and they will come up with their solutions to their problems. That's one thing I've learnt over time, that, you know, people aren't dummies. They understand their predicament, their situation. They need the time to actually start thinking about where they're at in their this particular point in their lives, and then they're looking for clarity, and we can assist that. You know, we help, you know, through yarning and counselling and other professionals that are on staff to make that happen for people.
Yeah.
And they go away happy, you know. They go away thinking, "Well, gee, that was a good experience and not a negative one," you know. So people, and I've had a few people ring up and say, "Thank you."
Yeah.
So that's the biggest reward I could ever get. I mean, it's only been a few, but they've rang up and said, you know, the way you handle that situation or the way you've done this, and I've seen them at the shopping centres, and I said, "Thanks, bro." Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And the best thing, I suppose, the medical staff that I used to work for many years ago, they were saying, why do you spend so much time with this particular family? And that was way back in the 70s and 80s. And how would you sort of explain that to members, medical staff? Because we do spend a bit of time with particular families, and depending on some of the politics or whatever it might be.
Yeah, well, you're right. It encompasses a whole range of different issues, cultural events, politics, relationships within a community, personal relationships. So they all need time to get some dialogue going between me and that particular individual or family. And unfortunately, it does take time. You know, you just can't gloss over really significant health issues in a space of 5 to 10 minutes, you know. So so I go back, if a person's in the hospital for a week, I'll visit them every day. And then you start to get the real story and the proper picture about what's going on. And then you can say to the particular young man, look, you know, if you go and see your GP, he'll do a care plan for you, and in that care plan you can get 6 free counselling sessions.
And they didn't
know that, you know. They said, oh, okay. So those sorts of things are like passing on information and knowledge, but doing it in a culturally sensitive way. And I think people appreciate that, you know.
And that's the next question I was going to ask you, is that, you know, from your experience, you know, go back to your experiential journey, how has that helped you? You know, looking at the diversity, there's also a diversity of culture we're talking about.
Just quickly, I mean, I was kicked out of high school. I went to a Magumba Ag School, where I really reaffirmed who I was as a Yamaji man, young man. I worked in shearing sheds. I've worked as a youth worker. I've worked as a group worker. I've worked as a senior group worker. I've worked in community development, community health. I've been a policy officer for WACHO. I've done a whole lot of things, you know. I've worked as a consultant right around Australia. And this has all added to my toolbox, I guess, if you like, of skills. And the main skill, and I know it's really cliche-ish and really general, is listening.
If you
haven't got the time to listen to people and reaffirm, you know, you can't say that, yeah, I know, because you don't walk in their shoes. But if you can spend the time to listen to people and acknowledge their hurt, their grief, their illness, their situation with some sincerity, and then say, look, I may not have all the answers to these, but I can definitely point you in the right direction for you to take charge of where you need to be and which direction you need to be heading.
And, of course, your role, again, there are many things that you do within the hospital systems, but it also, you are sort of a role model within the community as well to get people to, you probably would be selling the whole process of, employment and training, and people would want to seek employment in that field.
Yeah, I think, my daughter's become a nurse and my granddaughter's a nurse.
Wow.
and my other daughter works in child protection in Kununurra, so, yeah, and other extended family members work in that sort of welfare health environment. So, yeah, and I guess even people I'm working with who are at an end, I had a young man in the hospital a couple of weeks ago and he's still looking for directions. So I said, mate, you can be anything you want, If you want to go to your job service provider and you want to map out a career pathway or you want to explore these options, you can do that. And he said, can I? I said, of course you can.
Yeah. So you're actually providing that assistance to people out there who are looking at a career and of course wanting to.
Well, young people get lost. They get lost in the situation in the community. Some of them are affected by other substances as well, which doesn't help. Doesn't give them any clarity around what they want to do. But coming into hospitals like time out sometimes,
Yeah. Yeah,
so they get a bit clearer, they get a bit stronger after they've gotten over the pneumonia or whatever illnesses they've had, and then we start talking and yarning about other options, So I just sow the seeds and say, look, right down at this point, you're 23, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
Anything.
Wow. Mm. Yeah.
So they think about it and they say, well, yeah, I might go and see that mob in Armidale and I might do this course at TAFE or I might, Yeah, so it's just sowing those seeds and having a yarn with people and saying, look, not only are we dealing with your health problems and but we're also giving you some direction on where to go next.
Yeah, because economics has got a lot to do with it too.
Well, the best health outcome you can ever give a person is a job, a real job with real pay. I mean, that's helping setting a person up to cope in mainstream life forever. So if they don't have that opportunity or if they haven't really grasped it for whatever reason, and also to be non-judgmental around what you're seeing. I've never been, thought myself better than anyone else or never judged them on what they've been, what their situation is. You accept it. You give some clarity around, the issue. Listen a lot because, as I said earlier, people come to their own findings about what they want to do, and then after they hear themselves speaking for a while, they go, hang on, I know, I can do this. Yeah.
Rod, you're teaching me. What amazing education we're getting here when it comes to...
you're too kind.
because it is important, because I think the caring factor is very, very important to health. I often think it is the placebo of your mind.
Yeah, well, people can see through you. If you're fake or phony, and especially our mob, because they've got an inbuilt detector,
they
can tell, he's not really advocating for me or she's not really on my side and what are they, because I'm not their mob or because I'm, because I'm Cartwara or what.
Yeah,
there's these sorts of things going on behind the scenes, but once you go in there and you introduce yourself and you do that handshake and you come straight in the eye and you smile and you...
Yeah.
And I'm a soft talker, so I don't shout or bellow and say you must do this and you have to do this and this is why you need to do this. I just sow the seeds and I've seen the results, not only in the context of my position now but also previously. They say you're only as good as your last gig. Well, my last gig was in Harvey Bay.
Yeah.
Where I put 22 students through a 12-week course with 100% attendance, 100% completion, and 100% into real work or further study.
Amazing.
So it takes a fair bit of skill to do that on foreign land in a bachelor country.
Bachelor country, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And get those results,
So there is a technique we're talking about here. And not only that, this is about Aboriginal culture.
Mm.
It's about... Well, Noongar communication, Aboriginal communication, which, again, some of our people are still learning this whole process, but there's also this experiential process that's behind that too.
Yeah.
I can detect that.
Yeah, and it's important to have that experience. Like, I'm 62, so I bring along to my position, all that wealth of knowledge, experience, dare I say, a little bit of wisdom as well around around how you engage and how you act and how you start to prioritize different things in your life, you know, whether you're ill or sick or whether you, you know, you're ticking okay and you want some direction.
Rod, we're going to go to a break.
Okay.
And Rod Ogilvy, we're speaking with, who's an Aboriginal liaison officer with the Armidale Hospital.
Yep.
And we'll just go to a quick break and we'll come back.
Have you seen Tennille?
Yeah, she was drunk and left with that older guy.
Hasn't she got a boyfriend?
She had.
Getting drunk or stoned can put you in shameful and dangerous situations. Strong Inner Spirit keeps our family strong, our community strong, and our culture alive. If you'd like to know more about alcohol and drugs, check out strongspiritstrongmind.com.au.
Station
Hello,
sponsor.
My name's Francine Eads, and you're listening to Noongar Radio.
Oh,
Noongar Radio 100.9 FM, broadcasting right here at Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. And in the studio we have, well, this is all about health matters, which we do a program. And it's really interesting to speak to Rod Ogilvie, who's an Aboriginal liaison officer for the Armidale Hospital. And there's some really amazing information that we're gleaning and we're sharing right here. And it is all about conversation. And it's a nice conversation today, a very nice conversation, because we're sort of speaking from heart to heart.
That's right.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
And of course, there's been a lot of people listening in and learning from that as well. Tell me about some of the programs that is out there within our community that you'd like to let people know.
Okay, well, you know, there's the standard ones are HAC programs and that work outside the hospital. There's Arche Health, which provide a whole range of different services. There's also Durable, Yerrigan, me, that, you know, everyone knows where they're located and what they do. And I guess within the hospital, we have a range of services as well. We have, we have physio, we have occupational therapy, we have rehab, we have dialysis, we have a big dialysis unit there.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of Noongar people participating in that program.
Yeah.
And I think there's actually a waiting list for that as well. So that's one of the reasons why we need to do more education around, you know, different health situations and different health scenarios. You know, so a lot of people can turn their diabetes around just by exercising and eating properly, you know. So because it sounds simple, but, to get people to do that is a different story, you know, different thing.
Because it's a lifestyle thing that people need to to sort of embark on.
Yeah, well, I've embraced it one myself. You know, I mean, I've lost 10 kilos and I'm walking and hydropooling and exercising, and that's because my brother had a stroke 3 years ago. So personally, it's affected me, and I'm still, you know, like caring for him as well. So. And when it hits you home personally, you say, hang on a minute, I need to do something about my situation. So until we have that happen, that event happen to us, you know, then that's sometimes the conduit, if you like, or the vehicle for making change.
And what a great lesson to learn too as well from, you know, your family is they're going through sort of some sadness and at that time, but it is also you're learning at time embracing that.
And you know, within the hospital we have counselors and social workers and you know, the whole range of, as I said before, Christine Parry's program, the Bojari Yorgas, and that's pretty important as well. But we also need to work with the people that make the Yorgas Bojari as well.
There's got to be an education.
So there's all this education that, you know, I worked as a community health field worker in 1972 in Midland. And we were dealing with those issues then. Environmental health, primary health. So worked with Dr. Fred Hollows on the trachoma program as well.
Yes,
amazing man. You know, so it was all about health promotion and getting our mob, you know, right across WA, healthier people.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. We've got some people listening into Noongar Radio right now, and they're people from the inside, prisoners, and of course people that are all over the place throughout Perth and the metropolitan area, and of course Australia as well. Mm. What would you like to tell them? From your heart.
I think if you think you've got a headache or a pain or you're not feeling too well, get it seen to, you know. Go to your GP or your community health nurse or any other health professionals that were within your community and ask them for some assistance around what is going on with you, you know. Sometimes we leave it, us blokes particularly, leave it too long.
Yes.
And then it becomes a bigger problem, you know. And I think, we have to initiate that. We can't sit back and blame Gadiers or Whitefellas or everyone else for
sort of take control, isn't it?
Exactly,
Your life, take control of your life.
And sometimes that's hard because, you know, we're subjected to peer group pressure and other activities which take a higher priority. But you got to come to the choice one morning or one day or one evening and say, hang on a minute, I need to sit back and do something about this particular situation.
Rod Akelby, I just don't want to end this conversation because it is amazing conversation.
I was in the dialysis unit this morning and one of my homeboys in there wanted me to say a cheerio to him.
All right, yeah.
So is that okay?
You sure? Yeah, well, okay. You can do that right now.
Okay. To Neff, Aaron Blurton, how you going, bro? And take good care of yourself.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the program. We've only got a couple of minutes to go.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking with Rod Ogilvy from the Armidale Hospital. It was absolutely wonderful talking to you about, again, the role that you play in the hospital. And of course, the things that you do is really important to our community.
I think just to finish off on us, it's not only me, it's other people in most of the other Perth-based hospitals and regional centres as well that do a very similar role and do it just as well as me, you know. So I think it's important that people know that these services are in, maybe Derby or Broome or Bunbury, Peel Campus, Charlie Gardner, all around. Yeah.
Rod Ogilvy, thank you very much for coming on Health Matters right here on Noongar Radio. And do you think we've covered most of the subjects?
I think we've covered a lot. thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Good.
Better at believing that I'm gonna help myself, and I keep.